All right. We're going to go to Patrick Wood. He's with technocracy.news. He's been a few weeks now since we've had him on. And we're going to talk about many things, digital currencies, transhumanism, technocracy. Patrick, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Egan, Brandon, I got to tell you, when you have Tom Rentz on live TV, it's almost like having an open mic. You need to be very careful because he will absolutely slay you when you least expect it.
Yes, he will. and throw in some jokes so the host has to compose himself. Absolutely. I want to show you a quick video. I know you've seen it. I've showed it here. It bears showing a little bit of it again. I want to show it because it fits in with technocracy and what you've been warning about for years. How many years been doing this now, Patrick?
Well, studying globalization since 1976.
And technocracy?
Technocracy since about 2008.
Okay, watch this video. I know you've seen it, I'm sure. Again, I've showed it to the audience, but it bears showing again and having Patrick comment on. Watch this.
Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough. And nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals.
Okay, I'm gonna play little clips and have you comment. Would you comment on that, please? Have you seen this, by the way?
Yeah, this I have, and this is the typical transhuman mentality at this point. The manipulation of genetic codes, which has been talked about in elite circles for at least 2.5 decades. This is the mindset today that the human genome can be hacked. That it can be, it's like software. In fact, the Moderna website, if it is, it's moderna.com, if you go there and look at their about page, the title says right on it, "Welcome to Moderna. We believe messenger RNA is the, quote, software of life." What it says, right on their website. Well, what do you do with software? Well, you program it, and you debug it, and you expand it, you extend it. You come out with version 2, version 3, version 4, whatever. Their attitude of Moderna is right up front. This is the software of life, and they intend to use it on the human population. They're not the only player, obviously. We've got Pfizer involved in it and some other companies that are using messenger RNA as well. But this transhuman dream to hijack, in their minds anyway, hijack the natural evolution that they believed in, I guess, that, you know, they think now they can do better. They can now see what the whole genome is all about, and they can see what humans are all about. They are intent on creating humanity 2.0, humans 2.0, H+, some people call it. But it's transhumanism. And it's a wicked, wicked, evil religion that basically says, you know, we can do better than God. We are bringing intelligent design to the table, whereas everything before was just random chance with natural evolution. But we can do better now. And we're going to take over the design mechanism, and we are going to be the intelligent designers of life from now on.
We will be like God.
Yes.
Wow, let's play a little more and let you comment.
Data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. And if indeed we succeed in hacking and engineering life, this will be not just the greatest revolution in the history of humanity. This will be the greatest revolution in biology since the very beginning of life 4 billion years ago. For 4 billion years, nothing fundamental changed in the basic rules of the game of life. All of life, for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life, after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds, science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm. So after 4 billion years of organic life shaped by natural selection, we are entering the era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design.
So instead of the God above the clouds, he's mocking people who believe in God, it'll be the gods that have everything in the clouds, like the IBM clouds or the Apple clouds or whatever.
That's
Microsoft
right.
cloud.
That's right. And this has been in the works, as I said, for a long time. I'll just bring up briefly, in 1992, you'll remember the Earth Summit that took place in Rio de Janeiro that hatched the Agenda 21 document and doctrine, and also the biodiversity assessment. They ran in parallel with each other at the United Nations. The biodiversity assessment, as it turns out, and some eyewitnesses that were there have written about this, they said that what the biodiversity was all about, the main stake, was about the manipulation of genetic code. And they actually mentioned that the concept or the definition of biodiversity had been redefined. We think of biodiversity, well, there's lots of species in the forest and there's little frogs and big frogs and all that kind of stuff. Biodiversity to them meant manipulation of genetic codes. That, in other words, biodiversity or bio out there, whatever genetic codes that can be manipulated now. That set the tone for the biotech industry back then, which is in infancy, to become what it is today, a major player on the world stage. We've had all sorts of things genetically modified since, Brannon. We've had seeds have been modified, like by Monsanto. Insects have been modified, like down in Florida, to kill off the mosquito population. Fish have been modified to grow twice as fast as they would otherwise grow. Animals have been modified, genetically modified, to produce double meat or other characteristics and so on. Seed crops have been, of course, GMO'd to death. Everything except the last remaining final frontier, Brannon, that is the human population, has already been genetically modified according to the biodiversity doctrine. Why would we be too surprised that today humans find themselves in the crosshairs of these mad scientists?
Is this why you wrote this article right here, or you posted it, by Dr. Joseph Mercola? Transhumanism, this is at his website, technocracy.news. Transhumanism, is humanity 2.0 the new master race?
Exactly right. If Hitler had had the tools that they have today, we would all probably be jackbooting around and have one of those jackboots on our face forever, like George Orwell said. But he didn't. Fortunately, he approached the whole concept of creating a master race simply by either killing off the people he didn't like and reinforcing the ones he did. So they had these pregnancy campaigns where women would be selected for their characteristics, and they would breed with soldiers in the military and so on. They'd produce babies that would be part of the new Aryan race. They tried to create a Superman. In fact, that's where the concept of Superman came from. It's from Nazi Germany. They were the ones that first suggested that. We have Superman now. He's a wonderful superhero, they say. Except maybe he's gay now. I'm not sure. But I think the narrative's being changed on Superman. But you have all these things that happened back then that couldn't have been accomplished any more than they did. Now the science has been developed around it where it is happening right before our eyes. This is so dangerous, it's beyond description.
Well, in fact, Dr. Mercola, in his article, quotes the man we just heard from, this professor out of Israel, shockingly, in late 2019. He says, and this is the same gentleman we were just hearing on videos, he wrote, human augmentation will become increasingly relevant, partly because it can directly enhance human capability and behavior, and partly because it is the binding agent between people and machines. Future wars will be won not by those with the most advanced technology, but by those who can most effectively integrate the unique capabilities of both people and machines. The importance of human-machine teaming is widely acknowledged, but it has been viewed from a technocentric perspective. Human augmentation is the missing part of this puzzle. Thinking of the person as a platform and understanding our people at an individual level is fundamental to successful human augmentation. Dr. Mercola says, keywords I'd like to draw your attention to in this affirmation that human augmentation, quote, directly enhance behavior. Now, if you can enhance behavior, that means you can change someone's behavior. And if you can change a person's behavior in a positive way, you can also control it to the person's own detriment. You want to comment?
Well, this is the bottom line. You know, you use the word platform. Platform is a word that comes out of the software community. You talk about a platform. What does that mean? Well, that means the programming base that you're using for whatever it is you're developing. So if you're using Microsoft, you might say, well, I'm using the Microsoft platform. They have several, but I might say, well, I'm using Azure or something else. And when you talk about software like Moderna does, that their mRNA technology is basically the software of life, well, they're hacking the software of life. That's all. That's just plain and simple. The platform is our DNA and our messenger RNA, which controls the production of proteins in our body. And proteins, of course, affect everything else in our body. All of our systems are controlled and massaged and directed, whatever, by the proteins that the mRNA creates. So when they say they're hacking the software of life, that's exactly what they're doing. They look at humanity as a platform. Well, platform for what? For software development. You see, you look at the DNA code. It's got four letters that make up every strand, every string, if you will, every little segment. It's just like computer code, and this is not lost on these digital people today. It looks like base four computer code, where you have ones and zeros normally for what we usually have for computers. This is base four. You got A B C D, and so. They figure, hey, we can use computers, convert that code, whatever. We could figure out anything we want to do and direct the evolution of mankind and according to our own, what's right in our own eyes.
How successful do you think they will be at this? Is this just crazy talk? Or do you actually think that they will be successful in some way in accomplishing these things? Or do you also think, and again, I know I'm going into a different area of what some people may not fully understand about what I'm about to say, but if you go to Genesis chapter 6, and I don't believe that's going on today, I know some people do, but if you go to Genesis 6, you see something's going on there in Genesis 6, which led to the global flood, but the demonic realm was fooling around with the human realm, and it seemed to create this offspring, a mixture of demonic and human known as Nephilim. Now, I don't believe I don't believe that's around today. Some do. I personally don't think that's going on today. I think the reason that happened was Satan was trying to distort the human bloodline because he knew Messiah or Yeshua was coming. And so that and other reasons, God gave a global flood, which he said he would never destroy the world that way again. And he started over. So you already had a satanic and demonic goal of humans merging with something spiritual. So will these people be able to successfully merge human and machine? And or will it be an increasing merging of human and demonic entities indwelling humans, giving them the appearance of superhuman abilities, which people think is transhumanism and hacking, but really it's just demonically empowered people?
I believe we're laying the stage for that period of time, which you refer to as the tribulation, coming in the future still. We're not there yet. But I think we can pretty clearly see the building blocks being moved around in the world today that suggest all sorts of things as we now read the book of Revelation. I have to say, don't take this wrong, but it's almost like it's a progressive revelation in this sense. 20 years ago, we could not have been talking about the things we're talking about today. But now, the more stuff that happens, the more you can read the book of Revelation and say, wow, this all of a sudden is making sense to me.
Right.
And I understand it. That's the nature of progressive, if you will, progressive revelation. I hate to use the word progressive, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The more we know about current events, the more we can see how it's going to fit into that period of time in the end. And we look at the transhuman movement today. No, they're not going to be successful. They will not. They will not achieve what they call the singularity. They will not become immortal. But they think they can. And in the process of doing this, and we're looking again at the so-called shots that contain mRNA. Everything they're touching, Brandon, is getting screwed up.
Yeah,
it's devastation across. Every time they touch something, they mess it up. 200,000 people, maybe up to 300,000-400,000 people have died, perhaps in our country alone, because of these COVID shots. This is an unheard of, especially, you know, when you consider they always stopped any medication if it killed 100 people. It was
done.
Well,
they stopped in 1976. They stopped the swine flu shot when 25 people died. I think 52 ended up dying, but they stopped it at 25 deaths. They pulled it from the market.
That's right. And this should have been done a long time ago, but it hasn't. And they know people are dying, and they refuse to call it, to bring it back. Humanity is under assault of epic proportions. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. But we're under dramatic assault, first by the virus, and then secondly by the vaccine. And if you can't see the hand of genetic engineering in the virus itself, and that's disputable, I realize still, I'm not expert to get into it, you can certainly see the hand of genetic engineering within the mRNA, because they say they are engineering it, and they're calling it the software of life. And it's producing dead bodies. And I might say a war, but just by definition, a war always ends up with dead bodies, doesn't it? And
yes, it does.
Say, well, if we're at war, where's the dead bodies? Well, they're in the morgue now, but they came to the hospital, most of them.
Yeah.
And, people have been killed by this.
Look, you provided this, Dr. Charles Morgan. Listen to what he says here, folks. Okay, wait a minute. This is like 55 minutes. Any idea, any minute mark I should go to grab this?
It's something you almost have to listen to the whole thing. It's really bizarre.
Here, let's look at this right here. That's weird. Let's look at this.
These monkeys learned to feed themselves with a robot arm that was being directly controlled by their brains, as if it was simply part of them.
This is a biofeedback, closed-loop kind of experiment, and that there's almost an automatic learning that's going on, where we're communicating with the...
So essentially, when you're little and you're growing up and you're learning how to work your appendages, you are making good motor neuron connections and inhibitory connections. And what they're able to do back in 2008 with a primate is have it learn through trial and error that by thinking it can move a robotic arm and feed itself. It didn't take too long for the neural interface issue to be resolved once people figured out you could implant electrodes on brain tissue and then take a biological signal and turn it into an electrical signal and amplify it. It took a little while for the monkeys to figure out how to do it early on. They would give it a little joystick, so it was like playing a video game. And pretty soon the monkeys, actually there's a chimp that's done it as well, she figured out she just didn't need to use the little joystick and could just think about it. And then the arm would move, and the monkey would begin to experiment and would think about where it wanted the arm to go. So it was learning, I have a new appendage. The same is true in people. As you can see, just 4 years later, we see it being done in humans. You can start that for me, please. With people who have neurologic injury and can't use their limbs. Ooh, I don't know if it'll play. Try and hover over the screen. I think. Here we go. Oh, drag it down. There you go. Perfect. Yeah, it's right there.
My life has changed dramatically since the accident. As of right now, there's nothing to cure paralysis, besides maybe a miracle. The first thing I'd do if I get my arms back, I would hug my daughter. It'd be really nice to scoop something up in a spoon and feed myself again. This is going to go beyond spinal cord if this works. This is going to go MS. This is going to go stroke. This is huge. This is millions and millions and millions of people.
Now, again, the monkey thing was awfully weird, but you could see where the technology obviously could be used for good or evil, correct?
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, let me say here, he was talking to a military audience, Brannon, the military.
Wow.
He was there as a professor to talk about human augmentation to the military and explain to them what the state of the technology was at that point. The whole purpose of having, you know, the military searching for the super soldier, that's what DARPA's all been involved with for at least probably 20 years. The super soldier is going to be a product of human augmentation, and who knows what kind of technology, whether it's an exoskeleton, an endoskeleton, genetic modification, it could be any number of things, maybe all of those things, to create a super soldier that can excel on the battlefield. That's kind of a subtopic to what we're talking about, transhumanism. But I do want to say that technology that has come out of organizations like DARPA, which operates underneath the Defense Department, and IARP is another one, a sister organization, operates in civilian world. These organizations have spearheaded the technology that's being used today for genetic modification, like with Moderna and Pfizer, etc. And so There's a great, the collaboration going on between the medical field and the military. Been going on for a long time. We should never lose sight of that, because the military is interested in a super soldier. That's dangerous thinking. If you know, Tom and I get worried about, you know, soldiers having to be forced to take the vaccine. Let me tell you, if the soldiers all of a sudden are faced with what that professor was just talking about, well, hey, we're going to turn you into a super soldier, private, and we're going to give you a makeover. We're going to give you the hack, the military hack of excellence. And by the time we're done with you, you may well look like the bionic man. And the guy says, private says, I think I want out of this program. And they're going to say, there's no getting out, Buster. You signed your name on it. You're going to stay, and we're going to do it to you, or else. You know, this mad scientist mentality, like Frankenstein, you know, Dr. whatever, Dr. Evil, whatever.
Mengele, or what his name was, in Hitler's day.
Well, yeah, he had a head start on it in Germany, in Nazi Germany, certainly did. These are dangerous experiments, and they're killing people, bottom line. They're not going to succeed in general to do anything good for the human race. They will be, whatever they touch, they're going to find gangrene is right, setting in right there.
But the whole worldview that, in closing, the whole worldview that generates this is this idea that they're going to be as God. They're going to create humanity. They're going to create a new bioethics. They set themselves up to be as God. You heard the guy say it. No longer the God above the clouds, but the God in the clouds, which is the giant techs. The technocrats, the giant techs, will be running and ruling everything, and even able, hopefully by their standards, they believe they hopefully can extend life, because then they don't have to die. They won't have to die for those who, you know, believe in naturalism, that you die and it's over. They're going to work to extend their life out. So there's a lot of motivations by different people working together. Everybody might have different motivations.
Yes. Harari, by the way, is a principal advisor to the World Economic Forum. On the World Economic Forum's website, you can find as much information about transhumanism and human augmentation as you can about the Great Reset. But when Klaus Schwab talks about the Great Reset, we need to be mindful. He's not just talking about the reset of the economic society, the economic world. He's talking about the reset of humanity itself, and that's what we're discussing tonight. These people truly are mad scientists at the top of this pile, in my opinion. They really think that they're going to reset all of the world and the humanity in it. This has led me to come up with a, the catchphrase, in fact, it's going to kind of be the topic of my next book, technocracy is to the structure of society as transhumanism is to the people who will live there. And it kind of makes sense. From their point of view, you can kind of see how this makes sense. Why would you want to put, new wine in old skins or old wine in new skins? You know, you need something that matches. If you're going to reform and transform society, well, the current existing human population is not appropriate to live in that society. It's a technological, technocratic society that requires a transhuman population to live in it.
Wow.
And to enjoy it and to, you know, to benefit from it, etc. So when Klaus Schwab says great reset, we need to expand our thinking a little bit. Read what he's saying. Listen carefully what he's saying. This is exactly what he's saying. We're going to reset you so that you're able and you'll be, well, you know, like he says, you'll own nothing and be happy. Well, that's not going to work out well for most of us unless we accept the transhuman dream and go along with it. By the way, I threw my ticket away.
Yeah, absolutely. One final story on your website, electronic cash designed by the Boston Fed and MIT. They're moving fast on this whole idea of a digital currency. And this fits in with the transhumanist and the technocrats trying to control every aspect of our life. You see up in Canada, they've implemented the equivalent of martial law. They're threatening and talking about seizing bank accounts for people who help the truckers, bring them a pizza, I guess, or for freedom. Seize all your stuff. Digital currency is going to allow them to, the technocrats, to control and rule everybody, right?
Yes. That is right. And the United Nations, by the way, the whole topic area you're talking about is called fintech in the finance world. If financial technologies, fintech, that includes blockchain and cryptocurrency and stuff like that. And what the central banks are doing now to try and develop their own digital coin, dollar, whatever, you know, euro, whatever it might be. The United Nations has stated flatly that the financial system that will be necessary to support sustainable development, which I believe and argue is technocracy, is fintech. Now, every economic system has to have a financial system to undergird it. You have to have the oil has to be in the engine for it to work. Fintech has been declared to be the future of sustainable development, and the whole bundle of technologies is going to support the economic system that they look forward to. That's why the World Economic Forum is pushing fintech so hard. And, you know, when you read about cash disappearing and, you know, the war on cash and all this kind of stuff, that's just a warm-up for the ultimate flip-flop. When the Great Reset takes place, you can bet your bottom dollar, whatever's left under your mattress, you can bet your bottom dollar at that point that the digital currency is close behind. It has to be. Because they have to have a financial system that's appropriate for sustainable development. And our current system of fiat currency is not suitable. I'll just mention, you mentioned the truckers. I heard a rumor. It came from a source in Canada. I've not verified it anywhere else yet, but it's about 4 hours ago now, that three of the major banks in Canada, which is the bulk of banking in Canada, have all of a sudden gone offline. And questions are coming up. What's going on? Does this have something to do with the financial edict coming from Trudeau that he's going to freeze bank accounts, et cetera, et cetera? It's possible, but I will suggest at this point, we can watch for this. I will suggest that people are pulling their money out of the banks as fast as they can because they see what's going to happen if they don't. And my guess is the banks are in full mode panic, saying, shut the doors now. The deal in Canada is, by the way, I think there's a limit on withdrawals of 5,000 Canadian dollars a day. Ours is somewhat less than that, I think. But there's quite a large amount. You know, if you got a lot of money, though, I mean, 5,000 a day is nothing. It would take you 10 days to get $100,000 out of the bank. But if a bunch of people went to the banks all of a sudden to get their savings out, to get their checking account cleaned out, that sort of stuff, the banks would be absolutely in panic mode. And that may be what's going on up there. So it's just something to watch.
Wow.
Something to watch.
Wow. Thank you, Patrick, as always. Technocracy.news, technocracy.news. Thank you for this incredible report. Thank you.
My pleasure. Anytime, Brandon.
Patrick Wood checking in.